Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving, Living and Thriving with Rusty. Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty. Oh my gosh, is it humid out today? Lord, I was not ready for this weather, but it came anyway. Can you believe that? Today's guest is going to be Thomas Russo. He is a transformational coach. He was suicidal for a while, and he decided to do something about that, and he wrote a book that there are no politics in heaven. And quite honestly, I'm looking forward to having that conversation, because I don't believe there's politics in heaven either. We have too much in this world going on about politics, and Lord, I'm telling you, enough is enough is enough. Be nice to each other. That's all you need to do. So we're going to see if he dials in real quick. And Jeff, Thomas, if you're out there, definitely give us a call at 914-205-5661. Today's been kind of a hectic and crazy day. I know it's a new moon, and I know that it's almost spring-like weather. Here in Punta Gorda, Florida, we had a fire, and we have some major wind. So that's going to be interesting. We're on a fire ban right now, which kind of disappointed me because I really wanted to have a fire tonight. But I don't want to burn down the neighborhood, so we're good. And other than that, all things are good. This should be the last show of the season. I won't be doing anything other than recording YouTube videos for the next couple of months. And that's going to be exciting because YouTube needs some attention too, and then we'll start the radio show again this fall. If you have interest in being a guest, please give me a shout out. And hold on one second. I want to give a shout out to all of our guests this year. They made 2022 and 21, and well, gosh, for the last 10 years, amazing. So give me a shout-out if you have interest. Go onto my website. I have a contact form, and that would be awesome. I am trying to get, for some reason, Thomas did not get the phone number to dial into, so I am resending that. And kind of a struggle. We're going to do it, though. See if I can get this to work. Oh my gosh. 941-205-5661. Oh no. It's so funny trying to do this on my phone because it's just not working. Technology is a blessing and a curse. So we're going to learn more about Thomas and what he does and why he does what he does. And so I'm kind of excited about today's show as soon as he can dial in. For some reason, he didn't get the email. I have no idea. You know how life is. People are always in a hurry, and sometimes you end up in their spam bucket. God knows. God knows. My daughter's driving her car for the first time all by herself, and I am a hot mess, nervous wreck, because, you know, there's all these people that don't know how to drive, and there's my kid, and So that's been a little nerve-wracking for the last 2 weeks as she's been managing to drive Florida Crazy Roads by herself. I'm very proud of her. She's doing it. She's being smart and in charge and defensive, as she should be. But, Lord, that makes me freak out all the time, all the time. But she's liking her independence, too, because I work so much, and I think that she feels like she's able to do what she needs to do and not be bored at home, stuck, because mom works all the time. So it's good. It's all good. All good. So we're just waiting for Thomas to dial in, and as soon as he dials in, we can get this show on the road. I'm so excited to learn more about how he was able to overcome his sadness in a way that was beneficial to him. And no, in no way, shape, or form am I saying that his way is the right way or the only way. There are many ways to get better and heal. His way was evangelistic. Is that even a word? Some people use medicine. Some people use therapy. Some people do yoga. So there's many ways to get through your depression. There's not a right or wrong way. It's what works for you. And I'm looking forward to having Thomas let us know what works for him. And I'm looking forward to learning about the politics or lack of politics in heaven, because I too believe that there is no politics in heaven. Just waiting for him to dial in. We don't have a long show today, so Thomas, if you can dial in soon, that would be great. I don't know if we're going to have a show today. We will see. I am planning to go to Niagara Falls this June. I'm wicked excited about that. So we've been mapping our camping trip for the first 2 weeks of June, as I always do. And I've never been to Niagara Falls. So if you guys have been to Niagara Falls, you know, go onto the messenger and tell me what you thought. I think it's going to be fun and exciting. I can't wait. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. I am just not sure what the difficulty is here. Don't forget, if you are interested in doTERRA and learning more about that, I'm going to be throwing up some videos online soon. It has been fantastic to work with doTERRA. They have just an army of information and tools and resources and educational products and new products on board, which has been wonderful to partake in as well. It's just been really, I have definitely found my home with doTERRA. And so reach out if you have any interest. I'm still trying to get Thomas online. He's having difficulties, so I apologize for the delay. I know everybody's chomping at the bit to find out more stuff about how he has overcome his adversities. I don't think the show's going to happen today at this rate. We're just not getting anywhere. We are not getting anywhere. Yay, I think you're on, Thomas. Is that you?
Yes, how are you?
Woo, I didn't think you were going to be able to log in. I'm very well. Glad to have you on the show. Super excited to learn more about the politics. I hate politics, and you're a perfect person to end my season with because, you know what, I don't think you like politics either. And I also agree there's no politics in heaven. So who
Thank
are
God.
You, what do you do, and and what makes you you?
So thank you for the opportunity, and thank God for technology actually working sometimes. So I appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, so I won't say I hate politics, but I would definitely say that politics is what everybody thinks it is and more. And as I spoke to a group this morning about my book and my journey, there are absolutely opportunities for good people to get involved in politics. And if anything, there really needs to be more people getting involved in their communities and politics. But since I've seen both sides of it, I really implore people to go in eyes wide open, because it is not the genteel community and public service thing it should be. So, you know, my story is I started very young in politics. I was the youngest ever elected in my hometown. I was 24 when I ran. I served 2 terms for office. Fast forward, I ran for office in the town I currently live in, and I was not built to be involved in politics twice. And it was really the second time I got involved that I saw the dark side of politics and people, and to such an extent that it really started my anxiety and my depression and my thoughts of suicide. So it really did a job on me emotionally and spiritually. And through God's grace and a lot of spiritual counseling and individual counseling, I was able to pull my life together, and now I've taken the blessings that I've been given, and now I coach people, I do consulting, I wrote my book, I've authored edited four other books, I do teaching at 3 colleges. When I closed that door on politics, many other doors opened for me, and it was all because I was living with a self-limiting belief about who I was, what I could do, and how I can make the world around me better. So it's quite an interesting journey. So I won't say I hate politics, but I definitely look at it with a cautionary eye for sure.
So let's dish, because I know that there are many different ways of handling depression and handling suicidal tendencies, and your path was more spiritually driven, which I appreciate. Talk to us how you even got to that place where spirituality was the forefront of your decision-making versus medication or the traditional routes that most people take.
Right. So the quick story is I was the fat kid growing up. I was the fat kid that everybody liked to bully and make fun of and pick on. And so my self-worth was in question most of my childhood, until between sophomore and junior year of high school, I decided to starve myself, and I lost 100 pounds. Now, when I lost 100 pounds, I went into my junior year of high school, and everybody was really nice to me. And that's because I gave them the facade of what they wanted, right? They wanted the thin version of Tom, and now I was, quote, acceptable to them. And it was a very difficult lesson for somebody, you know, age 16, 15, 16, whatever I was at the time, like, all right, you give the audience what they want when they want it, they'll like you, right? And you'll have this adulation, you'll have affirmation. And going into politics at an early age was not really a great strategy for a guy with low self-esteem. It just wasn't. So I found my self-esteem through politics and government and elected office and the wine, women, and song that came with that. Like, Everything that you can think of in politics, it absolutely is, whether it's local, county, state, or federal, it is what it is. And I'm not proud of that, but it definitely does a job on you emotionally if you're not grounded in something real. And at that stage of the game, I wasn't really grounded because I didn't know who I was. So fast forward to when I ran for office the second time and went through my journey. I knew I couldn't solve my demons and my problems with the same mode of thinking that brought me to those problems, right? So rather than drugs and alcohol and pornography and gambling, my drug was politics. That's why I wrote the book, There Are No Politics in Heaven. Everybody thinks it's a funny title, right? And it is. It's a funny title. But I didn't write the title for you or the audience. I wrote the title for me. That's me telling myself, Tom, there is no politics in heaven. So the thing that I put on the throne, the thing that I envied, that I admired, that I aspired to, of titles and money and fame and wealth and whatever, those were not going to be the things that got me to heaven or to the promised land, right? So how did I do it? Well, one day at a time, I did traditional counseling and I did spiritual counseling. I knew I needed both because one without the other doesn't work for most people. I needed both. I needed to be grounded in something, and that's where the faith came into place. But I also wanted to understand my childhood, my traumas, because, you know, they say that if you don't deal with your childhood traumas, your romantic relationships will. So we're all suffering. We're all adults, really, who are children in adult bodies dealing with demons from our past. It's just I learned to push through the pain and go to the pain, whereas most people avoid the pain. And it was very – I'm not going to lie. It was the hardest thing I've ever done because I changed people, places, and things. I changed belief system. I walked away from one church and went to another and got baptized as an adult, which was very different for me. And I started to understand scripture in the Bible and just, you know, the words of Jesus. And, you know, that's my – and I don't mean to proselytize, but, like, that was my journey, right? And that's the journey I went through for recovery and restoration so that I didn't need other people to find my self-worth. I had it already inside of me. I just needed to find it. So it was very difficult in the beginning, but once I got started, I found that it was very – it brought me a lot of peace. And it brought me a lot of joy that I never really experienced because what I was comfortable with was material things, money, attention, and I learned that those things are temporary, right? And I was looking for things more permanent, and that was the joy that I got through my faith. So now when I teach or I write or I consult or I coach, I have that joy, and now I can help other people find their voice and find their joy and their passion like I have, and it's changed my life. So it was a very difficult journey, but it was something – it was like all hands on deck. I had to attack it from multiple angles because I was too smart for my own good, and if I overthought it, I would figure out a way to get out of it. And I knew I had to surrender, and that was very difficult for a type A who's very successful to say, I'm going to go into this blind. I don't know where I'm going, but I know who I'm walking with, and I know where I want to get to, so I'm going to take it one step at a time, and it was a true leap of faith.
And I think that's wonderful. Like I said at the beginning of the show, while you were dialing in, there's no right way or wrong way of doing this work. It's your willingness to do the work and find what keeps you inspired and motivated to continue to live a healthy, happy life. And so for some people, traditional therapy and medication works. For some people,
right,
it's more spiritually based transactions. Like I'm deeply spiritual. So for
right.
me to get through my day, I meditate and I do my yoga and my chants
right.
and all of that. And it's there's no right or wrong way. It's what keeps you alive, healthy, and happy. And I love the fact that you're able to have that as part of your conversation piece, because some people think that their way is the only way, and it's not a one-size-fits-all kind of situation.
And that's the danger I think we fall into with organized religion. And, you know, I'm Christian, but I say that the whole tenet of the Christian faith and most religions is and should be love. So whatever brings you to that place of love for yourself and for others, that's what Jesus taught. That's what the other spiritual leaders and prophets and people of faith talk about is loving yourself and loving your neighbor, right? So for I do meditation and yoga. I do meditation and yoga too. There are some Christians that don't believe in meditation and yoga, but I do. Obviously, I pray, but I pray several times a day, which actually is not really typical of many Christians, almost typical of other faiths and religions. So I've learned what works for Tom, like you said. So for me, it's Christianity. For me, it's prayer and meditation and yoga. For me, it's being in nature. Nature connects me to God. So if I'm at the beach or I'm in a forest or and I'm in any type of outdoor setting where there's peace and tranquility, I feel connected, and that centers me, that grounds me, and that's where I have some of my best conversations with God, and, you know, he certainly listens, and I have things to say, but that's where I get my answers to life's questions about my marriage or my stepdaughters or my career or my finances, my health. Like, I'm not the smartest person in the room, but I know where the answers are, and the answers were there all along, but I needed to seek them, and it was God's timing that really brought me to where I am today. But, yeah, you know, God is more interested in your character than your comfort. So regardless of what journey you're on, there is going to be discomfort that comes with this process of changing direction, finding your purpose, recalibrating relationships and friendships, maybe marriages and career. You know, these are not easy things, but God wants us to be bountiful, purposeful, and successful. And if that takes, you know, you working through with a psychologist, great. If it takes working through with medication and other things, fine, because some people have legitimate issues that need to be addressed with, you know, certain things, and that's fine. So, yeah, I don't sit here and say mine is a one-size-fits-all, but what I do say is, this is what worked for me. And if you can learn one thing from my journey, which is why I wrote the book, because I didn't want people to step on the same landmines that I did in my lifetime. I wanted them to learn from my mistakes so that if they could learn one or two things from my book or my journey, then my journey, as painful as it was worth it then, because that means I helped somebody live a better life.
I love the fact that you really – focused on the term love with Jesus's teaching. But one thing that I stress when I coach and teach is unconditional love, which is where we've fallen folly to all of these silly things like being overweight or being a different skin color or having a different whatever. Jesus didn't care about any of that. He was fully and completely unconditional. And I think we need to really work harder as a community to, whether you are religious or not, or spiritual or not, just have that unconditional love. And the world would be such a cool place if everybody could just get over their own ego and self-esteem issues and just say, hey, dude, you're human, I'm human, I love you, bro, we're good.
That's it, because, and, you know, I was in politics for most of my life, and is there a more conditional place than politics? I don't think so. So everything in politics is transactional, right? Quid pro quo.
Right.
You do for me, I do for you. You do for me, I do for you. Repeat. Rinse and repeat, right? So, yes, I live that life of – and that's why my leadership style in my full-time job as well as my other work, you know, side hustles and things that I do changed dramatically when I found faith, because – it was no longer about how could you serve me. It was about how I could serve you. And that was regardless of what you could do for me. It was regardless of your title or your age or your race or your sexuality or honestly any characteristic. It was, okay, I'm human, you're human. How can I help you? How can I help you live a better life? Because if I can help you, and I always say this to people too, because I coach, you know, a lot of different people and do a different consulting. I always say, if I help you, you have to pay it forward. Like, you have to. Like, this is how you raise the vibration of the planet. This is how you elevate communities and families and individuals, especially many who are suffering financially or health-wise through, you know, post-pandemic, right? Like, there's a lot of people suffering, and some of them suffer in silence, like I did. And it's very painful to see that and experience that when you know it's happening. So, yeah, if you can lift up somebody or you can lift up a family or a community or an organization or whatever, whether it's through a religious institution or organization, whether it's through nonprofit work, volunteerism, your career, like you never know when that interaction you have with that human being just means the world to them. So you have to meet people where they're at. And like you said, love is the equalizer and the common denominator that binds and brings us all together as people, regardless of faith or other characteristics. And, yeah, I wish we would focus more on that, because we're more similar than we are different. And if we focus on our similarities, the world would be a much more peaceful and healthy place.
I would absolutely love to see a day where people went for compassion and grace over judgment and assumption. And I don't know if I'll ever see that in my lifetime, but it would be a beautiful place if we didn't assume that we knew somebody else's story, right?
I think we're moving in that direction. I think you see the vibration and the energy change on the planet because they realize what we've done in the past is not working and we need to look at things differently. So whether it's, anger, ego, low self-esteem, insecurity, fear, emotional immaturity, selfishness, narcissism, go through the list, right? But these are the things that you can push through if you have a belief system bigger than yourself. If we're all just going to sit here in our heads, our own heads, we're doomed. So whether it's Jesus or God or whatever somebody finds as their core, as their belief system, there's opportunities to push through. Because we're all a product of the good and bad we experience, right? For me, it was the nexus between politics and spirituality. But in the end, we need to help people love themselves, because you can't love other people until you love yourself. You can't give away what you don't have, right? So if we can teach people self-love and how to love themselves, then you start building healthier relationships and healthier marriages and healthier children. Because like I said before, and I meant it, most of us are just adults walking around, but we got the mentality of a child because of the abuse as a child, or the bullying, or the financial challenges, or sexual issues, or whatever it is that we carry around subconsciously from ages, 5, 4 through 14 or, whatever. And then what do? In our 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, we just recreate the behavior and the angst and the drama, and we don't know why until we go to counseling and realize, oh, it goes back 20, 30, 40 years. And that's what I learned through my counseling, was a lot of the issues I was recreating in politics. So it wasn't necessarily politics was bad. It was what did I bring to it that got exacerbated in the cesspool that was politics, right? I brought my garbage and issues to the table. Politics just magnified it. It just blew it up because that's what I brought to the table. So for other people, it could be other things. Like I said, it's drugs, it's pornography, it's abuse, it's whatever. But there's opportunities to push through those things and live your life with good character and integrity and be true to yourself. There's opportunity. And, part of it for me also was I was pursuing perfection, which is elusive, right? Perfection doesn't exist. So I learned to be excellent and pursue excellence in the things I do, whether it's my interview with you today or whether it's my full-time job or, I teach 10 different classes at 3 universities. I rotate my classes, or anything I do, I want to do excellent. I really want to put my best foot forward because it's a reflection of me, my faith, my family, whatever. And I think everybody's been given a gift. And, I don't know if you're into imagery like I am, but I use the image of the prism in my book. And I say, for old people like me, I'm old. I remember the Dark Side of the Moon album, Pink Floyd, and it was the prism and the line was coming in the left side, and it was a cool, it was a cool album cover, and coming out the right side was the rainbow, right? It was a vibrant array of color. And I tell everybody, you're the prism. God gave you some gift that you got to push out into the world. So the line that's going in is your gift. You're the prism. What comes out the other side is what you're supposed to put out into the world. I don't care if you're a botanist, a florist, a biologist, a podcast host, a town manager, a professor, a police officer, a teacher. It doesn't matter. What's your passion? What gets you up in the morning? That's your gift. That's what you got to put out into the world.
Exactly.
And by helping people find their gift, then that's when they have the joy. That's when time just goes by and they don't think twice about it. And, they would start working smarter and not working harder. They get out of their comfort zone and they really, if they're on the pity pot, they sit on it and then they flush and get off. Because it's like, look, life is short. This life thing goes really fast. So if you choose faith, faith is going to energize you, because if you focus on fear, it's going to immobilize you. So we want people to have energy and life and passion and push through their challenges. And like I said, for me, it was my spiritual identity gives me my strength, my direction, and my capacity for resiliency, because life is going to knock you down. It does to all of us. Cancer is going to come. Death is going to come. The financial challenges are going to come. So how do you persevere and push through? Those are the skills we really don't teach nowadays that we really should be teaching our children, is how to persevere through challenges.
Well, and I don't know if you've ever listened to any of my other shows or watched my YouTube, but I am a huge, huge proponent to killing your television. I think that we are so obsessed with fear-based marketing, fear-based advertisements, fear-based TV shows. We're surrounded by chronic illness, chronic mental illness, physical illness, things we didn't even know existed, illness. And then we go into all these murder mysteries where your neighbor's like got 17 wives in a basement in Florida, even though Florida doesn't have basement. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Cut that out of your diet, and your whole world would be so different, because you wouldn't be agitated. You wouldn't be afraid.
Correct. Funny story. So, like most people, you know, years ago, I would watch TV, news, and the whole thing. And like you said, whether you're Republican or Democrat, liberal, conservative, there's always enough on TV to make you angry about something. Right. It's just angst. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
I'm angst. So when I went through my journey a few years ago, I realized, wait a second, I have two choices. And, you know, I work as much or more than most people, right? I have two choices. I can watch other people do what they do. And I know I like sports, but I could watch sports all night. I could watch TV shows, Netflix, the whole thing. Or I can do what I choose to do. So rather than watch somebody else act or play sports, which I do on, you know, I'll watch on occasion, or even the news or whatever, I'm living my life. I'm doing the things I love. So when people say, Tom, like, how do you run a town, author a book, edit 4 books, teach 10 classes, consult, coach, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I don't know how not to do those things, because those are my joy. Those are my passions. I don't do them all at the same time, obviously, but I can sit and watch TV and either be a vegetable or, like you said, have angst and anger because of news and this and that. Or I could say, you know what, I'm going to teach a class tonight, or I'm going to take a class tonight. I just finished a public leadership program at Harvard. It took me 2 years. It was great. I'm getting my diversity, equity, inclusion training in the next 2 weeks. So, like, I learn as much as I teach. I teach as much as I learn. And I would rather live my passion than watch somebody else live theirs. And so that's how I treat news and entertainment is, in drips and drabs, of course. Sometimes I just need the mindless thing to just get out of my world. But in general, no, I'm not going to waste time, because that's not going to be my legacy, is how many hours of Netflix or Prime I watched. It's going to be communities I impacted, organizations I spoke to, people I coached, families who I've changed their lives because of my journey. And I think it's fun. I mean, other people might think this is horrifying, but I absolutely love all of, I sleep 6 hours a night. I love everything I get to do, and I meet interesting people like you and other people, and I'm like, how blessed am I? Because I've met some really awesome people through my journey, because I had the courage to blow up my world and start from scratch and admit I was wrong and admit I needed to do things differently and smarter, but I needed to get off the throne, because I had myself on the throne and God kicked me off, and I realized the pecking order here, and that's when my world changed.
Well, and this show is actually not very long, unfortunately. We could probably talk for days. But the excitement that I have is the fact that you have chosen to go from a place of darkness and suffering to a place of inspiring other people and re-inspiring yourself to fully live the best life that you can. And that's not an easy feat. It's not easy to suffer from depression and self-sabotage and all of those things that we do because we're human. And wipe off your knees and say, you know, every day I'm going to get up and I'm going to be the best version of myself that I can be. I'm human. I am deeply flawed, but I have a wonderful heart and soul, and just roll with that every single day. And it's remarkable the work that you have to do to get to that place of being okay enough where it's better to be on this side of the fence than it is to be on the other side of the fence suffering.
right? I learned to be okay with not being okay. And I learned that in this society, we do stigmatize people with mental health issues and challenges, and we need to move past that and work together with people where they're at so that we can make their lives better. And it's one person at a time. It's one community at a time, but it's worth it, because otherwise, why are we here? What's the point of all of this if we don't love each other in the right way?
Tell us how we can find more information about you, and maybe somebody's listening and they want to actually hire you as a consultant or something. So how do we find you?
Sure. So like most people, I'm on social media, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. They can always go to my website, thomasrussojr.com. They can order my book through Amazon, so there's lots of ways to reach out. My phone number is available. They can text or call me. They can reach me through the website, obviously the social media outlets. But I love to connect with people. I do government and nonprofit consulting. I do individual and small group coaching. And I always love having conversations with people virtually or in person. I have many clients that pay me. I have many clients that don't pay me. I do it all because it's like, you know what? You never know when that one conversation just sets people off in a good direction and really lights their passion and changes their life. So, yeah, I hope people reach out to me and love to have a conversation. I think it's part of the fun. This is the fun part of the journey is, like you said, you push through and you pay it forward and you help somebody else live their best life. It's never too late to pivot and change. If I can do it in my 40s, people can do it at any age, and it's worth the journey. So I appreciate your time in letting me talk about this today.
I love the energy, and I love the fact that you're so open about it, because I think that's true healing, and that is indicative of the hard work that you had to do to get to this place, because now you have a happy, healthy marriage and a happy, healthy life, and you're excited to get out of bed and do the things that impact the world on a positive level. And I think, honestly, that's really the direction we should all be headed. Some of us are a little late in the blooming process, whereas the rest of us are like throwing water bottles going, high five, let's do this, Thomas, let's do it, let's go, make people happy, let's get them excited, jazz, you know? And I think the first step, and you can give me your top five steps of how you recommend people to start the transformation, but for me personally, it was just waking up and going through all the things that I'm grateful for and realizing that I'm going to do the best that I can do today, and I'm not going to feel guilty about anything because my heart's in the right place and I mean well. And that little baby step transformed my whole life in such a huge way. But what are your top, say, 3 to 5?
Yeah, so I start my day every day with Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So as soon as I say those words while I'm walking my dog at 6 a.m. in the morning, it totally sets my head straight for the rest of the day. Because it's like, look, it by no means implies the day before was a perfect day, but it means that I woke up, I have my health, and I have the ability to change my life or my family tree or the lives of others. So that psalm is my attitude of gratitude, how I start the day. I recognize every day that I'm not perfect, and some days are better than others, and sometimes I fail, and sometimes I succeed, and I give myself grace. I give myself peace with that because, like I said, it's not about perfection. It's about excellence. And I learn to breathe. I learn to relax. I learn to meditate and pray. So attitude of gratitude, recognize my failings and my successes. I learn to relax. And, look, we all have strengths. And, you know, I do SWOT analysis for people, which people are accustomed to with organizations. I do it with people. It's like, look, we all have strengths.
Right.
We all have weaknesses, and we all have opportunities and threats to those opportunities. Like every day is an opportunity to do something good. It doesn't have to be monumental. It doesn't have to be huge. It doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be. Like every day is an opportunity to be kind to someone, to love someone, to talk to the clerk at the ShopRite and the grocery store, to give the dollar tip at the gas station, because that's pretty much all we have left after we're buying gas nowadays, right? No joke. So, but you know what I mean? Like, there's these little things we can do, and you change somebody's day. And if you change their day, then it changes somebody else's day. So, yeah, it's attitude of gratitude. It's recognizing my failings and successes, the hits and the misses, and be honest with yourself. and just learn to relax. Learn to center yourself. Pray, meditate, like you said, yoga. There's other things people can do, but you got to center yourself because it's a rat race. And I live in New Jersey, and it's like one of the biggest rat races because we're between New York and Philly, and everybody's in a rush to go nowhere. It's unbelievable. So, like, if you want, everybody's in angst and has all this, emotion and, like you said, anger and all these things going on inside of them. So if you can center yourself, those are the three things I would say: gratitude, recognition, and relaxation. Those are the three.
It cracks me up. I lived in New England for a while, and I dealt with Boston traffic and Jersey traffic, and, so I totally understand what you're talking about. Everybody's in such a hurry. Like, their pants are on fire, or they have to pee really bad, and they just have to, cut you off and go real fast to get there faster than you. Just bizarre. And now I'm in turtle worlds. Like, everybody here in Florida is so slow and so ridiculously, there's no time at all. And I struggle because I laugh at myself. I'm like, sometimes the Boston side of me comes out, come on, man, I'm not retired. I have to go to work. I know you're retired, but get off the street, And I giggle because it's such a dichotomy.
Quick story. I know you got to jump, but so at 7 a.m. I had my men's breakfast this morning. I was speaking before a group.
Yeah.
And I got up very early. I was on the road very early. I was merging into a lane, and the guy behind me decided to cut in front of me in the merge lane and slam on his brakes where I almost hit him. And
why?
Why? Like, what did I miss? Like, I'm in front of you, so logically I'm merging before you. But no, had to zip around me, cut me off, brake so I would almost hit him, then get out of the lane and then keep going. And I'm like, wow, I'm so glad I'm going to a men's Christian breakfast right now. Right? And I'm laughing like, I don't believe it. Like, where are you going that you're in such a rush that you had to do that maneuver? You know what I mean? I mean, talk about reckless,
right,
but it was
right.
Like, wow, yeah, people are in a rush to go nowhere. And I'm like, okay. And, sometimes you just got to take a step back and say, all right, it is what it is. But, yeah, people, everybody's tense and everybody's got all this anxiety and agita, and as we would say in Italian. And it's like, people, like, you gotta find another way to deal with this, because this isn't the way it's supposed to be. This is not how it's supposed to be. So
I love it. Thomas, give us your information one more time, and I invite you onto the YouTube channel. I'm going to start recording that next month, so I'd love to be able to have this conversation again with my YouTube subscribers. But where do we find you? And thank you for being on the show. I'm grateful.
No, likewise. ThomasRussoJr.com is my website. Check it out. You can order my book, There Are No Politics in Heaven, through Amazon or the website. And my social media presence is pretty strong. So if you want to check me out on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, or Twitter, I encourage people to do that. And they can always shoot me a note or send me an email or a text. I'm happy to walk with people, happy to have conversation in person or virtually. I'll make myself available and work around people's schedules because I just love networking and connecting, and you never know where things lead. So I appreciate the opportunity, and I hope people take advantage of my support and my love for them, because we can make lives better and we can make the world a better place if we do it one person at a time.
Amen. Thank you so much, Thomas. Keep up the good work, and don't be a stranger.
Yes, thank you so much. Be well.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty, and I'm Rusty, and I get to do this. Oh, my God, was he perfect. He hit every nail on the head just perfectly, and nothing is one-size-fits-all, number one. It's really how much energy you're going to put into yourself and what your priorities are your day. And I love the fact that he is jazzed about what he does. Isn't it interesting that he started out in kind of a caustic relationship with networking with people and ended up being the lover of people? Politics is a unique thing, and I think ultimately he was doing exactly what he loved to do. He just didn't have the tools to do it the way he loved to do it. And I'm so thrilled that he's written this book. I'm so thrilled he was on the show. And it's just beautiful, because ultimately, when you are doing things and maybe it doesn't feel right or it's not sitting right, it might still be the right thing. It's just not in the right way. And I think we innately go to what we're supposed to do and learn through that process as to how we are meant to do it, really. It's just beautiful. And I hope that you get to check out his book. I hope that you remember that you're beautiful and that love is number one. Loving yourself is number one, because you can't pour from an empty cup. And we are flawed and we're human and we make mistakes and we're here to learn and grow, just like toddlers learning how to walk. And that's what life's about, is to experience and be a part of each other and be a part of a bigger community than our own ego, because the ego is our test. Can we get past it? That's when we really know we've made it. Ah, God, I love what I do. Go and do something kind for somebody else. For those of you who are still stuck in snow, shovel your neighbor's doorstep or buy somebody a cup of coffee. Wave at somebody. Let somebody go ahead of you. Don't be in a rush. Make sure that your family knows that you want to stick around. So do some yoga. Do some meditation. Go play some basketball. Whatever it is that's stress reducing for you, do it. And do it with love, because you love yourself, you love your community, and you love your family. And that's what it's all about. Until next time, I'll see you soon.